Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, March the 3rd, 2026, coming up on 11 minutes past the hour. Hey, about 35 degrees here in Marion. March has brought in a little bit of a warming trend, and I think we're all happy for that. I do want to remind everybody that Friday morning, from 8:15 until 1 p.m. on this station, we will be giving away a $100 gift card to Kroger, a $100 gift card to Kroger. And we actually got that card in the mail yesterday, so we do have it on hand. We will have a $100 gift card to give away to one person, one winner, on Friday morning. And that will take place over the course of the morning on Friday, 8:15 until 1 p.m. And then we'll draw the winner somewhere between 12 and 1 o'clock. You're not going to want to miss this, and I'm sure it will help somebody out with their groceries or whatever they would like to buy at Kroger. $100 on Friday morning. Also, I got an inquiry yesterday because I said I had Kiwanis pancake tickets to give away, and we do have those to give away. The big annual 67th Kiwanis Pancake Day is coming up at Tri Rivers on Saturday, March the 14th, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., so all the pancakes you can eat. We will be giving away these tickets in the very near future. We may give some away this week, maybe next week, depending on how the schedule goes, but the pancake breakfast is not until the 14th, so it's not this Saturday. It would be the following Saturday, so we've still got time to give these tickets away, but we do have those, and we will be giving those away as well. Now, I do want to thank everybody who called in yesterday in regard to the story in the Columbus Dispatch about Golden Voice Ted Williams on Sunday. You know, I thought we had a real good conversation yesterday about addiction and people and celebrity and how this all happens. So I appreciate everybody who called in. And I also put a little thing up on social media, and it got a very good response yesterday. A lot of people do care about Ted, and again, it's his personality. As I said, I think of him as the Van Gogh, Vincent Van Gogh, of broadcasting. He is just that good, obviously has his problems. Van Gogh cut off his ear, and Ted obviously has his problems, but he is just amazing, and it's nice to see the comments that people were leaving. In regard to the post I had put up on Ted. And there is a GoFundMe page, and if you go to Google, you can search that and hopefully help Ted get to a rehab facility that he is willing to go for, or go to. At this point, I don't know what that situation is. As I said, I have not talked with him, but I've talked to some people who have seen him as of late, and hopefully the situation gets better, and we'll see how that goes. Now, again, the phone lines are open here, as they always are, on this Wednesday, or Tuesday morning, but let's see here. Now, Matt, I was thrown there because Matt was sending me a message, and I have no idea what that message is about. He's going to have to explain that one to me. I'm not sure. I can't even say that on the air. It's a Tuesday morning, by the way, but it's a rainy Tuesday morning here in Marion. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay. So, now where else are we going here? Oh, City Council met last night. City Council committee meetings. And I have to say, I have been to a lot of, Van Gogh. He cut off, this is interesting. He cut off his ear and gave it to a prostitute. You know, prostitution is the world's oldest profession. So thanks, Matt, for the history lesson there. Apparently he cut off his ear and gave it to a prostitute. Now, I don't know... Well, maybe that's not a good comparison, then, for Ted Williams, to call him the Van Gogh of broadcasting. I'm talking more in the brilliant sense of the word. Cut off his ear and gave it to a prostitute, or at the very least, somebody who worked in a brothel. Well, that's... See, now there you go. That's what happened to the ear. Give somebody your ear and you'll have them forever. Okay, what do we... City Council last night was, kind of a nothing, to be honest with you. There was not a whole lot talked about last night. I think there's going to be a public meeting on flock cameras coming up on the 16th. We did learn that. But as far as anything else, it was very strange, because after the letter that the mayor sent out last Thursday, there were two things, I think, to note last night. Number one, the mayor was not there. So now I'm a little confused, because last week, I thought the mayor was out of the country after this letter came out. Well, then we were told it was out of the county, and last night he was not there. So I don't know if he is out of the county. I'm not sure where he is. Maybe he's on vacation. I'm not sure what's going on there. I would guess he's on vacation. But an interesting time to go on vacation, just days after you dropped this letter talking about all the rate increases you want to do and the programs you want to do away with. But I will tell you, the city council meeting was kind of a nothing because none of this was talked about. You know, finance committee last night, which I assume is where some of this would have to go through to go to council, unless they just want to skip over finance committee and just add it to the council agenda. I'm not really sure. But it was never brought up. It was not on the agenda. There was nothing on there about getting rid of the recycling program. There was nothing on there about raising the transit fees. There was nothing about raising the sanitation fees. Apparently, the storm sewer has already been increased. And the getting rid of the out-of-city work tax credit is already at its second reading. So I'm not really sure. And Phil is asking me here this morning, county or country, I don't know where the mayor is. I just know he wasn't there last night, which is maybe why he hasn't been around for comment. So I don't know. I don't know if that's just going to come to council and they're going to bypass the finance committee, which would kind of be an odd thing to do. There was really no talk of it last night. It was almost as if that letter had not come out last week at all. The mayor was not there. Nobody from the administration talked about it. And nobody from the finance committee talked about it. So, there you go. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. We can talk about it. Well, by the way, since Matt is listening this morning, one of our listeners came up yesterday and said they would pay for Matt's haircut. And also, they would be glad to get out some sheep shears, and trim Matt right up if he needs to be trimmed up in the haircut department. Now Matt's saying that he didn't mean to ruin my comparison, just thought it was interesting. No, I thought it was fine. I think it's interesting to know that's what Van Gogh did with his ear. Gave it to somebody at a brothel. I don't know. I maybe he did. I don't know why, you know. But as they say, as I said, prostitution is the oldest profession in the world. Okay, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Now again, I don't know where the mayor is, but it probably wasn't the best look for him not to be there last night. But sometimes vacations are scheduled. So what can you do? Go ahead, caller.
Okay, the Van Gogh. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry, we're not just supposed to jump into it. I forgot we're supposed to be pleasant with one another. I struggle with that, so.
No, I think we can jump in on certain things.
Well, it was Van Gogh and the ear and the prostitute.
What a way to start out the morning.
Prostitutes would cut off ears. It's only on the Spears show. He was in love. It's a rumor that he was in love with the prostitute. And they can now, looking back on him knowing what we know about him, and actually, she was considered a maid. She was I'm looking at it now because I remembered. He was having a severe mental health crisis, but when they look back at it now, they believe that he was likely bipolar when they put the pieces and parts together of how he had his manic moments, and then he would have great depression, but he was an absolute genius. And bipolar disorder, I've read a lot about this, about Van Gogh. Bipolar disorder is often a common mental illness that is suffered by people that with high IQs.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was giving that morning.
He loved her, and that was what he had to give her that was important to him, that meant something to him.
Well, see.
And I've never had anyone give me anything that important to them before, just saying.
Well, no, and I'm going to come to that point here in a second, but it was interesting because when people send me messages, a lot of times I'm not looking in that direction. So by the time I look over there, I'm not sure exactly a lot of times what people are commenting on, what I've talked about. And I did that little opening soliloquy this morning, and then I looked over there, and the comment was, and he gave it to a prostitute. And I'm thinking...
The prostitute part is kind of embellished, I think, but he could give it to a woman that he loved.
Yeah. Well, I thought, now what in the world was I talking about? Did Ted give something to a prostitute? I mean, what in the world am I talking about here this morning?
If you've ever thought you received a strange gift from someone, I bet you've never opened an ear.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? I think he did the right, because this was a woman he loved, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because if you give her your ear like that, then you won't have to hear her complain.
Well... You always have my ear, my dear.
There you go. You always have my ear.
But yeah, I mean, what's more valuable than an appendage? Have you ever had anybody give you something that was more important to them than their appendage?
You know, I don't know. See, now, if somebody gave me an appendage, I'm not sure that I would be favorable of that.
Oh, no. I wouldn't date them. But I would be like, wow, that's the most sincere gift I've ever received.
Oh, now that's a... See, I like questions like that. What's the most sincere gift you've ever been given? Now, see, I would have to think about that.
Not an ear.
Not an ear, no.
I would have to think about that, too. My husband made me, he took a silver quarter once, and he pounded it into a silver band. So that's a pretty heartfelt gift.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, I think,
Still not his ear.
No, it's not his ear, but, you know, the ear takes a lot of work. I mean, I assume he didn't go to a hospital. He just chopped it off.
Oh, yeah, he just chopped it off himself. Yeah. I think my husband would probably give me his ear if it meant he didn't have to hear me out of that one anymore.
Well, you know what's interesting? Listen, I will say this. Now, people think the comparison between Van Gogh and Ted is maybe a little much that I'm making here. But
brilliant geniuses. I mean, the difference
right.
is that Ted at some point has had access to some kind of care in his life.
Right, but
Van Gogh did not.
Right, but I don't think, like I said, I've known him for 14 years. I don't think people realize he's one of those guys who did not really care about his appearance. You know, a lot of times he would come to the studio and find out we were going to do something on camera, and, you know, he would have to get his hair together, and, you know, a lot of times he would let his hair grow very, very long, and he would have to wet it down so it did not look bad on camera. He
okay,
really didn't
so
care.
Now we're talking about Matt.
Well, then that is similar, and he didn't really care how he was dressed. A lot of times we would give him like a coat or something that looked a little better on camera when we would do something, but it was never out of financial problems. I just don't think he cared, and he did like to sleep. There are just a lot of comparisons there. You'd have
sleep
to
sleep and depression go hand in hand as far as that goes.
Oh, absolutely, and I don't think there's...
He was ever medicated at all.
I think he was.
Psychiatric drugs tend to be very tiring, cause people... That's one of the chief complaints among people on psychiatric medication is they're slowed down. And that's a lot of the times why they stop taking them.
Right, right. And I don't think people realize to the degree that he did have these issues. I mean, we talked about him on air about his psychological problems and reasons he saw a psychiatrist and reasons he was on medication. But again, also about thinking about committing suicide and how close it actually got to that point at a certain point. So he very much is a very smart... quirky doesn't seem like the right word, but...
Eccentric.
Yeah, he's definitely an eccentric. I think he lives in a different world, kind of on a different plane than the rest of us. The social graces to him are not that important. And I don't know, maybe that's what makes him so good. Because I look at these people who are geniuses, and they all tend to have those traits, and there must be something to it.
I've done a lot of reading about mental health and things like that, having worked with the population in the past. Science proves to it, and it's also my opinion, that when you have a mental illness and you're super, super smart, it seems like that illness attacks. I can't say attacks. That you don't develop the social graces because of your, you know, people think you're weird and that sort of stuff, especially, I'm sure, when he was young, you know, the stigma with mental illness, but you don't develop necessarily the social graces because you're not used to being around people and interacting with them the way quote unquote normal people do. You don't get those, and then so you don't care how you look or sound or, you know, those things, because you've not been forced into that, pigeonholed into that box by yourself. You've not allowed yourself to be valued by the way you look, or you know what I mean, like the normal social norms don't apply to people with severe mental illness, in my experience.
No, and I think there was a lot of that there, but the point I was trying to make yesterday, and I'm not sure if I ever made it, I think most of the points were made yesterday, but the point I was trying to make about his homelessness and past drug abuse was, for the 14 years I knew him, I believe he only had one relapse, and he got through that fairly quickly.
That's so sad. And 14 years of being clean and stable, and now he's back on the street.
Right, right. Well,
That's heartbreaking.
Well, the thing of it was that every time he was around, though, inevitably, even when he was clean, no matter how good he was performing, and we were inviting him here for, you know, as a well-known guest, even in that, there was always some kind of remark by somebody about his homelessness or drug use, his past drug use. And I could never understand why that stuck to him so hard, harder than other people.
People like to feel better about themselves when they do other people, so they like to take easy pot shots like that. And then as you're describing his appearance, you know, he didn't care how he looked, he didn't care, et cetera, so that might lead people to believe that he was still using drugs. We tend to associate that disheveled look with drug user.
I think so, and I think sometimes the way he behaved, like I said, getting him to the microphone, it wasn't really an argument, but a lot of times he had not eaten that day, so he wanted to eat before he went on, so that would be a little thing. We would have to make sure he got food, or he would be running a little late. He was always running, but, you know, he'd walk out of the room. There were always those little things going on, but I always thought, you know, sometimes when you're working with a genius, you just have to go through those things, because once he gets to the microphone, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, his brain just clearly works differently than other people's.
Yes, and so I...
And to his own detriment, it sounds like, at times.
I think so, and I think that's why a lot of times he was not kept for the jobs that he did get, because I imagine that, yeah, it gets tiring after a while to deal with that. But I was surprised yesterday at the outpouring, because he is still somebody that people, it was such a Cinderella-ish type story for him to come off the street and start doing well. And it's 15 years ago now. And I think now to see that this has happened is just a little disheartening, because I think we all like a happy ending.
I agree. And I think that if anything, though, we should all take away from this what mental illness can do to you, and imagine just putting yourself in his steps or in his shoes for a moment, and your brain is your own worst enemy.
Absolutely.
Living your life like that.
And I don't want to get too much into this, but there also were some race issues there that he faced. And I could never understand what people were doing there. I just know that if he were Caucasian, I don't think he would have ever been treated that way in some, not by everybody, but by some people. You know what's
a novelty at first?
Well, kind of. But you know what's interesting? The people, let's say there's a millionaire, because he was around some millionaires. Now, the millionaire would never make a remark like that. They would never complain about him. They would never talk about homelessness. They would never talk about past drug usage. Those weren't the people who made the remarks.
They didn't need to make themselves feel better than him.
Right. It was always the people who kind of were in the same profession as him, or they were kind of in the room. Maybe they just didn't like him. And I could never understand, because he is a likable person, they just held him to a different standard. I don't know what that was.
Again, people that worked with him were, I don't know why you would be around, or be in a room. I don't know how you'd dislike people you don't know, is what I'm trying to spit out. So why anyone would dislike him just because is beyond me, but you said people that he was basically competing with or against had to throw up, okay, well, you know, yeah, you're good, but you're a drug addict.
Yeah, well, and I, you know, I'll tell you a story now. This happened years ago, and then we can talk about other things, but years ago, he came to Marion. Now, Ted is not a singer, but he came to Marion, and he put on a Santa suit, and we were just doing some videos at that time, and he did some, you know, read some I think he read "Twas the Night Before Christmas," and there were some little liners that you hear during Christmas time that he read. But because we were videotaping them, he was in a Santa suit. And at one point, he sang, I think, the Christmas song, "Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire." So we put all of those videos up, more or less, and somebody really took him to task for being a poor singer. And I remember thinking,
God,
you know, that...
Let's hear you sing. What you got?
Right. but it was, I thought, what in the world? It wasn't meant to be a Christmas album. We're not trying to charge you to listen to him sing "Twas the Night Before Christmas." He was just having a good time. And I don't think that would have been done with other people. But I think they always thought they could get away with it with him because of his background in with the felonies in the past.
His look.
And what we all knew about him through coming from the streets. So it was just always a weird
atmosphere.
You know,
atmosphere. If anything, that speaks more to our issues, not his. Our issues as people to harass, I don't want to say harass, but to degrade or just be mean to someone. You know, it, to me, he's suffering right now, but he's the innocent, happy, go lucky, carefree soul in this scenario. Other, you know, not at this exact moment in time, but when everyone else is just treating him so horribly.
Well, and I think
he's saying, you know, I mean, come on.
Well, I think in the broad perspective, it needs to be said again, but we did say it yesterday, is one thing about this article that is frightening to me is that I think people who are in bad situations, when people pile on, because that's the world we live in now, we live mm-hmm. in the cyber bullying world that we live in, when people do that, I don't think they even realize the damage that they're doing to people. I don't think they realize that people have mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and children. And that it's not just them that you're taking a swipe at. It's very hurtful, I think, to other people. And if you don't want it done to you, don't do it to somebody else is maybe a rule to live by. Because as I said recently, locally, in the last 6 months. I know that was done to somebody locally, and I think it did have very adverse effects to them. And I think that's horrible. I think that is on somebody's plate is very despicable.
Especially considering the fact that we're adults, and you and I talked about this yesterday, but we are the adults. And we are the ones that run around all the time. Comment sections are full of, the schools just let people bully my kid, and then they never do anything about bullies. And then you turn on a council meeting, and you're like, well, maybe this is why we don't do anything about bullies. Or maybe this is why our children are bullying, because they're learning this stuff at home. So, no, we as a society, we are very, very bad about piling on the least among us, the easiest target.
But, you know, and council has their place.
I don't like it.
But it's also, I mean, it is social media. It is, people go after people in a way that...
It's real easy to say whatever off the tips of your fingers, but it would never come out of the tips of your lips.
No, and it's usually from somebody that either you have no association with or you know very little about.
Mm-hmm.
And I can never understand that either. I can't understand.
Absolute strangers that seem more involved in my life than I am.
Well, I just don't understand it. I really don't know. I don't know what it says about society, and I'm not sure where we're going, but it's not a good look. It's not a good
I
look at all.
Anything this morning, we can all take a step back and think about what Ted Williams goes through every day as he's battling his brain, like I said, his own worst enemy. And maybe we can all have a little more sympathy and compassion on people with mental illness and addiction and these other illnesses that are caused by their brain malfunctioning and making them think they want to die.
And maybe this
is pretty tough stuff. I mean, I've been through lots of counseling and stuff, and people just don't realize when you can't escape your own thoughts, sometimes death doesn't sound so bad.
No, and I don't think people realize how close people are to suicide, and you are completely unaware of it. They're functioning, but there's something going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
Oh, I've lived plenty of days like that. Like, if, you know, I woke up again, oh, great, put your smile on and go live your life. Don't let anybody know that you'd rather be dead than be here.
Well, this is what I talked about on Friday morning. You know, I have said for a long time that I think everybody could have some good done with them or by them by seeing a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And when
a counselor,
I'm...
at the minimum, you should see a counselor. Psychiatrists only write you drugs. You go see a counselor. And
yeah, what a therapist.
I call it, it's a little early. It's a little early, but I call it taking an emotional shit.
Right, well, there we go.
And you just get it all out.
Right, and yeah, but you know, when you say that, some people take that as, oh, you're saying I need a psychiatrist, you're saying I need a therapist, and they don't take that very well, because that still has a stigma.
I'm saying you need an unbiased third party to listen to you and to help you process your feelings and emotions and help you make good choices. That's what a counselor will do.
Well,
but yes, there is a stigma with a psychiatrist and a psychologist, even with counseling. As many people as I know go to counseling, they don't want to admit it publicly.
Well, and I don't...
It's just like going to the doctor.
Well, you know what, and this is a little deep, but, you know, for a long time, and yes, it is kind of a little bit of a running gag on the show, because you've got to have running gags when you do a show. I've talked a long time about multiple marriages. But if I really was to dissect that down... I do think there's some kind of mental component there. I do think that you would do that multiple times and keep falling in love, as I'm doing the air quotes. There has to be something that is...
Some people just want to be in love.
Yeah, there's some kind of hole in you that needs to be filled.
I would fully support your notion of if your first marriage failed, you should probably do some counseling before you get into the second one.
Right, but...
Especially if it's immediately, oh, I love those people that their divorce papers are barely printed and they're already getting remarried. Those are great.
Well, but here's the thing. I'm not saying that you can't have a misstep. So I will give everybody the mulligan on the first divorce. But once you do it again... And you get divorced again. Now then, I'm starting to think, okay, now there's something else going on here. And then when you get to the third and fourth times, then I'm starting to think that really anybody will fill the shoes. And
now, you do know what the number one cause of divorce is, don't you?
Somebody cutting their ear off and giving it to you.
No, that's...
Oh, that's
when,
love.
When they give it to their mistress is when you get divorced over the ear.
I understand.
Thing.
I got it.
The number one cause of divorce is marriage. If you don't ever get married, you can't ever get divorced.
Now, isn't that the truth?
See, we will never be divorced, Spears, you and I. We'll be at our high school reunions when we finally turn 60, which will never happen. And we'll be like, yeah, we've never been divorced.
But you know the thing, and it is true. I really had opportunities to get married because that's what people do.
But believe it or not.
I knew it was a bad idea.
I've got somebody that would probably agree to it as soon as I said, hey, you want to go get a marriage license? He'd probably be down. I feel like he would agree to it anyway. So
yeah. Well, it almost made me, I don't know, it was some kind of reaction I would have. It almost was like feeling trapped. When I was okay to be around the person, I was okay to be in a relationship with the person, even at times I was okay to live with people. But once you want to put paperwork on that...
You've shacked up, Spears?
Well, I'm not admitting to that.
Okay. Well, now we all know it's
shacked
a possibility,
up.
Though.
I don't know if I would say shacked up.
Sir, you did not fervently deny it, so I'm taking that as an admission.
You know, well, there have been people, but what I'm saying is...
So you shacked up more than once.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that people... Listen,
I need to check and see if you have 2 years the next time.
I'm no Van Gogh, but I'll tell you this. I can honestly tell you this. As time went on... You know, because time goes on for all of us. When the girls would be around, I did pay attention to if they were married and divorced a lot. And that was a big red flag to me.
Oh,
now,
yes.
Now, I can be around this person. I can do fun things with this person. But I don't think it can ever go any further than that. And anybody who does, it's beyond me. They must have some kind of glutton for punishment. They must be a glutton for punishment.
All right. I have a secret.
Oh, here we go.
Don't tell anyone. Yeah, my husband was 19. I call him my husband, but we're not married. I mean, at 19 years, are you really like boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other? We're past that. But
right.
I mean, so I'll call him whatever I want to. But at 19, he was married for 2 months. And a marriage was annulled. And then in his mid-20s, 26 or so, he was married for about 5 years.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I would technically be his third wife, and I am not third wife material, sir. If anything, I'm second wife minimum, but I should be someone's first wife because that's how much of a catch I am.
Well, there you go. See, and so
it started out years ago that I wouldn't get married because I wasn't going to be a third wife, and now it's just like, what the hell's the point in getting married?
Well, but I think you're right in that matter, and I think that you know, there just is something about, as nice as the person is, and some people have been very, very nice, very, very thoughtful, nothing wrong with them. But at some point, I've got to say, okay, now you've been through this 3 times. What in the world happened?
You shouldn't be husband number 4.
No. And again, they might be perfectly nice people who live perfectly productive lives who, you know, take
just
care
not
of...
not with me.
Right, because I, at some point... But you know what? It does always show... At some point, it does always show. Now, I'm not saying it's always a reason to leave the person, but at some point, you will see something, because the mask can't stay on forever. Something will happen. I learned the other day that it takes 2.5 years for the mask to fall off, the honeymoon phase, to be over. 2.5 years.
I don't doubt that. My aunt used to say, only give them a 90-day trial and keep re-upping their 90 days if they make it past, the, you know. So she gave everybody 90 days at a time.
Well, yeah, well, that's good.
So maybe that's the relationship advice for you going forward, Spears. But now I've got to think of you in a whole different light, shacking up with women.
Well, no, there was no shacking up. I don't know.
Turning down spouses.
Well, I did turn down spouses. That did happen, yes.
Someone really was like, let's get married, and you're like, I don't think so.
You haven't heard the engagement story? I've told this before.
No,
I can tell this quick. Okay. I was in I don't know what people consider long-term relationships, but I certainly was in something that had been going on for more than a year.
Okay, that's long-term, more than a year.
Okay, so it's Christmas Eve, and we're having the, family get-together, and my family is there. And at one point, the girl says, I've got an announcement to make. And I think, well, what in the world... Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, well, what in the world announcement is she making? Because I can't think of anything that, I had no idea. And she said, we're engaged. And
what?
I'm fine. Oh,
you didn't know?
No. Now, people don't believe this story, but I swear there was no ring, there was no proposal, nothing. I did not know. Now, at that point on Christmas Eve, you can't wreck Christmas and say, what are you talking about?
So, because
now everybody's congratulating you because you've done it in front of the group. So that happened, and obviously it's Christmas. It's like late December. And I will tell you, I was out of the relationship with that person by June because I knew that something wasn't right there.
It wouldn't have taken me that long.
Well, it wasn't like one of those things where I was so distraught that I needed to go the next week. Because I thought, well, maybe something has happened here. Maybe there was some confusion. I don't know what it was. I didn't quite understand
it. Didn't remember having the conversation about getting married?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think we ever had a conversation after. I don't think we had a conversation about what even happened. Because it's Christmas Eve, and you're exchanging gifts. And, you know, it was just a... It was hard. It's hard to explain, but it was a lively atmosphere. So,
oh, no, I get it. You didn't want to be... the wet blanket.
No, and I don't believe she and I ever really discussed why she did that, and I don't, and honestly, if I said something to her, she would probably say that I had done something, you know, because I think marriage had probably come up, but there was no formal proposal, there was no ring, there was nothing like that.
Well,
so
then you're not engaged.
Well,
if you're not discussing dates and wedding invitations, then you're not engaged.
I think she bought some of those wedding magazines.
Okay, I had friends, they were man and woman, and they dated, but they never lived together, and they would only see each other like once a week. So I can't say that it wasn't a serious, exclusive relationship, but they weren't in each other's lives every single day. I mean, they were, you know, we are exclusive and we only date each other, that sort of thing, but they only saw each other maybe a few times a month. My friend, the woman, had full-on bought a wedding dress, had groom's vests picked out. She was putting together silk corsages. I mean, this was like her hobby was planning their wedding, and they were nowhere near getting married. But, I mean, she had it down to what color napkins was going to be at the reception.
See, and this to me is probably, and I'm going to try to be very careful about this because I don't want to out this person, and I wouldn't even want them to know that I'm talking about them because that's not the purpose here. But there is a person who I know was proposed to, and they said yes. Now, again, I think it's hard to say no to a proposal if you're proposed to by your significant other at that point. So they said yes. Now, whether they want to admit it or not, once that happened, there were conversations out of their mouth about, I'm not sure I'm ready to do this again. Yeah. I'm kind of shocked. You know, it was that kind of conversation. But if you would ask them today, I'm sure they would tell you that it's love and blah, blah, blah.
Well, if you've been burnt once with a divorce, which I don't think divorces are fun, but again, I've not ever experienced one, so that would just be me as an outsider. I think a second marriage you should be apprehensive about, even if you are absolutely in love with the person and they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You should. I would hope that after what you've been through the first time, you would be apprehensive, just naturally.
Yeah, but I also think you put up with more. Because I think people do feel, and I'm not saying they are failures, but I think when the first marriage fails, I think you almost take it as a failure. And I think to get into a second one, you're now willing to put up with more because you don't want to be divorced a second time.
Second marriage is statistically, the more you're married, the more likely you are to get divorced. First marriages are actually at 35% divorce. Second marriages are 50% divorce. And then from there, it just escalates to, why are you even getting married?
Right, but I think that, once you get married the third time, I think now you're just trying to run the clock down.
I would be a third wife, so watch yourself.
Well, but I think it's true, and I'm not saying that they haven't got themselves.
We've been together for 20 years, so, I mean, clearly whatever his issues were, I mean, 19, when you're married for 2 months and you're 19, I don't count that one. I mean, the law does, but then you were stupid and you realized it early, and you were a kid in my mind. But, the 5 or 6 year marriage, yeah, that counts, but I would still be wife number three, so I'll just remain a maiden.
Well, but sometimes it's funny because marriage is what does it in. For some reason, there's something about it that causes a problem. I don't know what it is.
Well, he and I are in a situation, though, that we've been to a state attorney's, because I had a lot of issues with health where I thought I was going to die for a while and things like that. So we did a lot of estate planning and health care power of attorneys and things like that. Problem with him and I is that we are not married, so there is no, I can't say the problem. The technicality with him and I is that we are not married, so there is no legal relationship for a judge to dissolve. Everything we own jointly. So if we wanted to split up, we're stuck together until we agree to sell something. I mean, at least financially, our assets are stuck together until we sit down face-to-face or with our attorneys and agree to sell something. A judge cannot sever our relationship. We are more than married. We are joint owners of everything, and we would have to get attorneys and fight each other worse than divorce court to get what we own.
Well,
that's our level of commitment.
Well,
he's never had one of those before.
Well, that's good, though. That's good. But, I think the thing is in my mind, I have to believe, why is the paperwork necessary? Is the paperwork to keep you there? Because most of the time it is.
It's legal. It really is. And that's why people ask why I'm not married. At this point, it would be nothing other than a marriage license. That's the only legal document that he and I don't have between the two of us. Everything else is completely binding to each other. Yeah, I don't think you can make more of a commitment than to commit every single one of your assets to the other person. We're considered 100% owners. I own 100%. He owns 100%. In a marriage, when it comes down to the end of it, they usually do the 50-50 thing or whatever. We both own 100%. So the only way to get out of it is to buy the other one out or agree to sell together.
The
only thing I don't have is a marriage license.
It's another document. Well, it's a longer conversation, but I heard a story yesterday in which the Gen Zers are starting to choose, significant others who are more laid back, and it kind of balances them out, I think is the reason they're giving for doing that.
We're the yin to the yang here.
Right. So the interesting thing is that to me, that's kind of fascinating because I think they for some reason, they're just, it's a different perspective on getting together with somebody.
They watched us. I mean, look what we've learned from our parents. I think what I took away was from my family, I guess multiple marriages aren't cool, so I decided early on that I probably would never be married. And then, so I saw all of their failures, and I decided not to make those same mistakes, but in the same right, I've made my own mistakes. And then this generation is learning what they're taught.
Well, but I like that, though, because I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, because I think why am I asking someone to marry me?
Now, we put a high pressure on people to get married. I think we need to stop that.
Well,
that's
also,
you don't, just because you have a spouse doesn't mean you've arrived.
Well,
you're
people
better than other people.
But I guess the other part of that story that I found interesting about Gen Zers is that people need to stop posting on social media how great the person is, because there is something
in
a little false.
Months, they might not be.
Well, you know, if you've got to tell other people how great they are, why? I mean, is that to fool you?
You and I are friends on social media. How often do I post about how wonderful my husband is?
Right.
I might on his birthday or Father's Day, you know, something like that. But I don't go on every day about how lucky I am. I tell him that. I don't need to tell the world.
Right. And that's the thing about it that always astonishes me, is you think you would be telling that person. Why do you need to tell other people how great somebody is?
I just embarrass them because he can't stand it. So.
Well, I think some people do it kind of to say, this is mine, and I also think sometimes things are not as great as they portray them to be.
If I ever do make one of those posts, please don't read that into mine. Please know that I am truly grateful for whatever I'm talking about that day.
Well, how do you read somebody who doesn't talk a whole lot about their spouse?
I don't want to say, my life is much more public than his. And I don't talk about him for that reason, because he does go to work every day, and people might know me and not like me and associate him with me, or they might like me and then somehow feel like they're entitled to go talk to him and ask, you know, like, because they have a glimpse into my life, that somehow they now are entitled to a glimpse into his, you know what I mean? So, like, I do try to keep my son and the rest of my family, like, today's my granddaughter's birthday. No, there will be no public pictures of that. The things in my life that are actually personal, I try to keep those personal. So if I'm sharing a post about my son or about my husband, it is because I am feeling exceptionally proud of them that day. But they've already heard that come from me. They're not going to go to Facebook and that be the first place they see it.
Well, two quick points here. Now, Matt's saying he's going to pass on the free haircut. Now, there's a shock.
Let him leave your hair alone, honey. Throw some conditioner in it. It'll be fine. Maybe we'll put some leave-in in it, but you let them stop bothering you about your hair.
Well, no, I don't think anybody... No, I don't think we're worried about the length of the hair. I think it's sometimes...
He needs a little leave-in conditioner is what he needs, and he can come over here. We'll get him. I've got some good Olaplex stuff. We'll treat him right up, and he'll be looking smooth and debonair in no time.
There we go. And the other thing is I have known sometimes when somebody was being unfaithful to their significant other or their husband or wife, and I never tell, because you can't come out.
I do if they're my friend. If you're my friend and you're cheating on my friend, or you're cheating on one of my friends, I'm telling on your ass.
Yeah, but they're not going to. Not going to admit to it.
I don't care. I do not care. I had a friend who was letting another woman send mail to his house for another one of our friends, and I found out about it, and I snagged a card and took it to his wife. No, I do not like liars. I do not like disloyal people. If you will lie to the person that you sleep next to every night, you will lie to anyone, and I don't want to be around you.
Well, I'm not saying I want to be around them, but I'm saying I certainly don't want to be around the person who's doing the cheating, but... I also...
And if the other person is your friend...
The other person is my friend, but I...
You should do them the solid.
Okay, but I'm telling you, it's easy to say, but if you go to the person who's your friend and say, listen, I want to let you know that I have proof that... I really don't have proof, but I know or believe your husband...
Well, I wouldn't go unless I had proof.
Well, now proof is difficult to come by, but you
not
can get
always.
Pretty...
I've walked in places before and seen my friend's boyfriend locking lips with another woman.
Well, I've done that. I've done that, but I'm not going to take a picture of him.
No, I'm not going to take a picture of him. I'm going to get my phone out and be like, girl, you can get up here and get your man.
I don't think it can end well. I try to give them I will drop subtleties. I will say, now, how are things going?
I might go tap on his shoulder and be like, why are you locking lips with her? You know your girl's at home.
Well, I guess you could do that.
See, I'm just that I will stick up for people in rooms that they're not in.
I just figure they're gonna find out eventually.
Why make it eventually and make the heartbreak worse?
Well, because I don't know that it's my place to get involved
in... I forgot about how you and your friends and acquaintances. No, you wouldn't do this for an acquaintance, probably.
No, but you know what? God bless them.
I would want someone to do it for me. Would you want someone to do it for you?
That's my standard.
Well, that's my standard. If I would want someone to do it for me, to tell me, then I will do it for someone else.
You think you want somebody to tell you until they do. Because if you really like that person and
I've
you have...
I've been cheated on, so I would rather be... I don't care how much I like you. I'd rather know than be a fool.
So you would always believe the friend because you know the husband or wife is going to tell you...
Oh, no, I'd start my own investigation.
Right, but see, now that becomes the problem because if nothing ever comes to the surface, then you think the friend lied to you and was trying to cause problems.
Well, it depends on who the friend was. If they were a close friend, I wouldn't believe that. If they were acquaintance... I probably wouldn't even start the investigation.
As we go to break here, it's been an interesting conversation.
What a conversation.
Well, you know what? That's how the show flows. Matt says, not my pig, not my farm. Thanks. We'll be back.
You know what, Matt? You come over some Monday night after council. We'll get you treated right up. We'll do a before and after. We'll give you a glam over, and then get off your back, buddy.
Glam him up. We'll be back after the break.
Bye. Back in October of 2010. Why did you finally...